This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, my son Grayson moved to Madrid in 2008, and the way it was set up, he wasn't, I guess, a full-fledged teacher. He was like a substitute or something. He had a degree, but it was in journalism, political science with a minor in Spanish. Eventually, he did get an advanced degree in Madrid for a lot less than it would cost to do so in America. But that's his route. He currently does multimedia. He gave up on the teaching after about 12 years of it. Go ahead, please, Peter.
Okay, well, I'm in Colombia, but I'm listening to all the English language UFO and paranormal podcasts, including the Paracast. I was a weekly listener. I was also a regular listener to the Kevin Smith Show, Jerry Pippin. I listened to a lot of shows beyond that. And I got to a point, though, that I was turned off by not your show, of course, which is excellent, but by other shows, many that had unprofessional quality, goofball attitudes, and superficial treatment. So ultimately, I decided the only solution for me was to create my own show. And my other thought was, why don't we hear more about, you know, what's happening outside of the United States? Why is it only information from the United States, or primarily? And another aspect was, there are already a zillion UFO and paranormal podcasts covering information from the United States. So I thought, I'll focus on international interviews. And how could I do this? I didn't have any contacts. So I got the idea to contact two people. Klaus Schwan in Sweden and A.J. Gavard in Brazil.
Funny you should mention their names. Of course, A.J., we lost him just a few weeks back. But we had both Klaus and A.J. on the Paracast over the years. Really, really interesting guests. And as you say, when you look at UFOs outside of the U.S., you find that what's going on is much more interesting. We're kind of constricted here. You learn a lot more about what's going on when you look at the wider picture. But I think that's also true about news. Do you want to know what's going on in the world? Don't just concentrate on the U.S. media. Look at English language, or whatever languages you speak, English language sites in other parts of the world.
Yeah, and another thing is that, and I think we can all appreciate this because we've all been reading and studying and researching these UFO topics for years and years and years. You know, we've heard all the cases in the United States. We've heard all the information, and there's kind of a lot of repetition. We want new information. So anyway, what I decided to do, I figured Klaus Schwan and A.J. Gavard get a million emails a day, minimum. So I'm going to, how can I send? I'm going to send them postal letters through the mail, the old-fashioned way, and maybe I would stand out and they would respond. I was very disappointed that I never got a response from A.J. Gavard. And this was doubly disappointing because I had actually seen him in person at the Bay Area UFO Expo about 2002. He gave a talk about the cases in Brazil, and I was fascinated. Unfortunately, I never got a reply from him. Only Klaus Schwan responded. And so I explained to him that I wanted to do a podcast interviewing UFO and paranormal researchers outside of the United States. And he agreed to help. And I was so thankful. He really helped me start this whole project. And I'm really indebted to him. He has helped me a lot with guests, referring me to guests. And then after months, I was trying to come up with a name for the show. After months of investigating names for my show, I came up with Shadowy Spectrums, which is a YouTube program, podcast, And the name is purposely nebulous because I wanted to be able to cover not only UFOs, which is what I'm my number one interest, but other fantastic mysteries. And in 2020, I started the Shadowy Spectrums podcast, and my first interview was Klaus Schwan. And at that time, he was the international director for UFO Sweden and chairman of AFU, Archives for the Unexplained. He had just written a book, and yeah, I don't know how much detail you want me to go into my interview with him, because you, I think you've covered some of his material. I think the highlight of what we talked about, of course, was the Ghost Rockets of 1946. Now, we did go into depth on that. Hopefully, people are aware of this case, it was like a series of sightings in Sweden in 1946. The Ghost Rockets of 1946. Now, there were numerous sightings, just the basic concept, there were numerous sightings of rocket-like objects over Sweden and other Scandinavian countries. And, of course, this was after World War II. One of the odd details, the objects never crashed on land, only in lakes. And these lakes where they crashed were extensively searched by the military, and nothing was found. Absolutely nothing. And did you go into detail on that when you interviewed him?
We're talking about quite a few years ago, nearly 1,000 radio shows. So
sorry about that.
No apologies are necessary.
Okay, well, I think I did go into this in more detail than most other shows that he has done. Now, the object, what are we talking about? Rockets. Well, the visual effect of these objects was similar to the World War II German V-1 rockets. But there was, you know, some variation in the fine details. Now, the objects did not have any visible markings. They never struck land. The odd detail of only in lakes did they crash. Now, what's interesting, I discovered the phenomena did not cease in 1946. There had been a number of spectacular incidents of ghost rockets crashing into lakes in 1948. For example, a ghost rocket crashed into a lake, and the primary witness was a Swedish general. He had a house on the lake, and he witnessed this actually happening in front of his eyes in 1948. And then there was another event in 1980 where a couple was hiking in Sweden, and this ghost rocket crashed right in front of them in a lake, and there was some maneuvering of the object before it crashed into the lake. And Klaus Schwan is in the process of mounting expeditions to see if he can recover this object. He has used technology to scan the lake bed and has detected some anomalous object there. So he is planning to pursue that. So that was in 1980, and there was another spectacular event in 1999. A ghost rocket crashed in the lake. There were many witnesses. The military closed off the area, and there was no information released. And, you know, it's still a mystery to this day, and there are occasional further reports. Now, what's the big deal about ghost rockets? Oh, they were just German technology captured by the Russians, and the Russians were shooting them off, experimenting. Well, it's not as simple as that, because in World War II, German V-1s, V-2s crashed in Sweden, and they crashed on land, and debris was covered. Not a single ghost rocket crashed on land.
Let's continue with Peter and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We explore Ghost Rock. It sounds like a song, Ghost Riders in the Sky. Ghost Rockets in... No, forget about it. Peter, Gene, and Tim, what's going on, Peter?
Yeah. Now, I was researching and preparing for the interview. I was researching whatever information I can find about the Ghost rockets and also the German V-1 rockets, which they most resembled. And I made an interesting discovery. It was interesting to me that the United States at the end of World War II, or close to the end of World War II, we were still fighting Japan, the United States produced thousands, mass-produced thousands of copies of the German V-1. And you know why?
Lay it on me.
Okay. At that time, the United States was planning, projected to invade Japan. There was a massive invasion of Japan plan called Operation Downfall. These copies of the German V-1 were mass-produced in preparation for that invasion. They were going to launch these at Japan prior to ground troops. And, of course, we know what happened. The atomic bomb was dropped, and the invasion was canceled. Incidentally, my father, at the end of World War II, he was in the Navy, was being trained for this invasion, which never happened. Now, I mentioned this to Klaus in our interview, and he didn't think there was any connection. But I was never able to discover what happened to those thousands of copies of the V-1 that the United States had. You know, my speculation was that maybe those were the Ghost rockets. Anyway, following this, Klaus suggested I interview his contact in Spain, which ties into the story about your son living in Spain. The first contact didn't want to be interviewed. And he was a friend. He was a close friend of Klaus, a top researcher in Spain. Now, I just want to mention that I've had more difficulty than I ever imagined interviewing people overseas. I don't know why it is, but I tend to get like three contacts in a specific country. I work with one maybe for a year, and they cancel, and then I get another contact, and they do it. I mean, I don't know what the problem is. That's why I guess we have so many American interviews, because Americans are more open to being interviewed. Maybe Europeans are more cautious, suspicious of Americans. I don't know what it is. And, of course, there's a language issue in many cases. But anyway, Klaus gave me another contact in Spain, which turned out to be another fantastic interview. Luis R. Gonzalez in Spain. And maybe he's a neighbor with your son there in Madrid. Now, Luis R. Gonzalez, he is known as a skeptic. He has written articles about Spanish ufology. I want to mention that he has also written a novel, which you can get at Amazon, a second edition of Humo, Historia de Una Obsesión. Now, that was the highlight of our interview, the Humo Affair. Now, this was, I think, one of the most famous cases in Spain. And it is believed to be, by serious Spanish ufologists, to be a hoax. My conclusion is the same. And actually, I would go further and say that the Humo Affair, in my opinion, is the most complex UFO hoax in history. So let me just go to 1960s, early 1960s Madrid. The location is a cafe called Baena Alegre, in English, the Joyful Whale. Now, this was a large basement in the Lyon Café. Why is that significant? Well, meetings were held here to discuss UFOs, contactees. The leader of these talks was Fernando Sesma. Now, Sesma was known because he had published very early articles about George Adamski in the Spanish press. And he had formed a group called Society of Friends of the Space Visitors. So they would meet and discuss this information. Sesma received a postal letter, a mysterious postal letter, containing what appeared to be extreme advanced scientific information. Very advanced. And the letter claimed to have come from representatives of a planet called Umo. And that was the beginning of this Umo affair. And over time, more letters were received. And they were giving all kinds of scientific information. And at the end of these letters were arrived through the Postal Service. They were typewritten. And they came from addresses all over the planet, other countries, unknown sources. I don't know, any questions at this point? I seem to be giving a lecture. hopefully not.
No, keep going. The UMO situation is an extremely fascinating part of UFO history.
And I don't know if most Americans who are into UFOs have heard about this case. Now, I think most people that have studied UFOs, maybe they're not familiar with the details of this case, but they have seen photos. Now, these photos show a disc-shaped object, which kind of has the appearance of a frisbee, but they have gigantic symbols on these discs. And the symbol, the UMO symbol, appears, it's kind of like an H with another line in the middle, but the sides are curved out.
I was going to say something silly about lines in the sand, but I don't want to do that because that would be denigrating people. We're learning more about sightings that maybe a lot of our listeners haven't heard about. We have Peter Shelley, who does a show focusing on sightings outside the U.S. with Tim Swartz and Gene Steinberger in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. More classified documents have been discovered at President Biden's Delaware home. Biden's personal attorney says they were found on Friday during a search by the Department of Justice. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain is expected to step down in the coming weeks. New York Times reports the veteran political consultant's resignation would be the biggest staffing shakeup the Biden administration has seen since taking over the White House 2 years ago. Ukrainian President Zelensky is honoring the victims of this week's deadly helicopter crash in Kyiv. During a memorial service held on Saturday, Zelensky personally spoke with relatives of 7 of the 14 victims killed in the crash. NFL playoffs. The Eagles crushed the Giants 38-7, setting up a date for them in the NFC Championship game next weekend. In the AFC, the Chiefs beat the Jaguars 27-20. They'll face the winner of Sunday's Cincinnati-Buffalo matchup. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Peter, you can continue with the details of the sighting we're talking about.
Okay, so that this gentleman, Fernando Sesma in Madrid, Spain, is getting these letters. And now these letters, okay, are typewritten. And at the end, they have the UMO symbol, a stamp with the big UMO symbol. Now, what is, of course, you know, he doesn't automatically believe these letters. He's skeptical. Now these letters have details that are kind of suspicious, like, you know, typewritten. Now, why would extraterrestrials produce typewritten letters? And on top of that, there are mistakes, typos. There are grammatical errors. There's margin errors. And in most of these letters, the author, the UMO, entities are saying, don't believe us. It'd be a good idea not to believe us. Okay, so various UFO researchers are starting to receive these letters. Some believe them, some think that they're absurd. Then there are also, people are getting phone calls. Fernando Sesma receives a phone call. And the phone call is in a robotic voice, which sounds like a artificial larynx effect. If you're familiar with that, a robot voice. And this robot voice identifies itself as DEI-98 of the planet UMO. And they give all this scientific information. And that seems to be a pattern. All the entities have, like, several letters in their name followed by a number, different numbers, which is, of course, a stereotype found in pulp science fiction. Anyway, some people believe these letters. Some people are skeptical. This saying just keeps growing and growing, and it goes on for years. And, you know, there are engineers, there's scientists that believe in these letters. And this goes on for decades. And to this day, there are people who believe, especially big group in France, a Numa group, that believe that these letters are absolutely authentic, even though, you know, they were so outlandish. You know, why would extraterrestrials write postal letters and with all kinds of mistakes? And, okay, one of these phone calls from DEI-98 announces that there's going to be a UFO event. Tells Fernando Sesma there's going to be a UFO event, the UFOs will appear, they will land, give some information. Okay, so everybody's excited, naturally. They go out to this location. They don't see anything. They go there on the specific day and time. They see nothing. The next day, there's an article in the newspaper. There are photographs all over the newspapers of this UMO UFO that I described with the Frisbee type effect, a disc with a gigantic oversized UMO symbol. But nobody saw it. It's all like in the newspapers, though. So everybody assumed, wow, that must be real, you know, because it was in the newspaper. So this continues on for years. For example, you know, one little episode was at that time, they thought there was going to be World War III, which sounds familiar now. But the representatives of the planet UMO informed the Spanish group that they had an underground bunker that people could go to in the event of World War III. But not everybody could go. They had to select specific members of their family to go. And, of course, this caused a lot of trauma with the people who believed this story. So this went on and on for decades. And there's even a French physicist today who still believes that these letters were authentic. But finally, there was a man who came forward, Jordan Pena. Jordan Pena was a science teacher, an engineer, and he confessed. He said he was the author of the UMO affair. He created the letters. And why? A psychological experiment. And, of course, there was a big reaction to that, controversy. Certain people believed his confession. There were people who did not believe his confession. Their attitude was, oh, no. That's not true. The government or the intelligence agencies are making Senor Pena confess. It's not true. It is real. So to this day, despite his confession and going into detail on it, how he did it, and recently his daughter has also confirmed the hoax, there's still people today that believe it. So I guess one moral from the story is once a hoax is created, no matter how ridiculous, it never dies.
Well, considering also the amount of letters that were sent, pictures, phone calls, it's hard to believe that he was alone was doing this. He must have had help.
Yeah, that was one of the speculations, that other people helped him. But he was a very intelligent guy. Now, you can imagine this was pre-internet, but, you know, as a science teacher, engineer, he probably got all the scientific journals, and so he had a lot of material to work with. He was also the head of the Parapsychological Society. The guy was just super intelligent. but he was crafty. To him, this was a gigantic joke. And it went further than that. I mean, there was actually a case where one of the people he sent letters to, he convinced this guy to take his money and invest in a company that he had created. A company set up to develop one of the alleged scientific inventions. And, of course, that was nonsense. But he got the guy to invest a good deal of money in this proposed project. So there, you know, all kinds of manipulations like that. Yeah, people have speculated, well, he didn't, you know, he didn't have the expertise to do all these letters. But they're mistakes. They're scientific errors in the letters that scientists have discovered. So and he is also speculated to have been involved in some other hoaxes, too. There was a later Spanish abduction case, the Julio Efe case. And Jordan Pena was involved in that. He hypnotized the abductee. And there was this, and this was in the 70s, late 70s. And it's speculated that he created this whole scenario of an abduction with a different group of extraterrestrials, not the UMO group.
He said that this was a in quotation marks, a psychological experiment. Did he ever go and write up anything about this, or was he just doing this for his, you know, own giggles?
Before we answer the giggles... We don't want you to giggle about this stuff, but we've got Peter and Gene and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, Tim asked a question of our guest, Peter Shelley. Peter, go on, please.
Well, again, Jordan Pena, I would compare him to the fictional pulp character, Dr. Mabuse, who manipulated people, who psychologically manipulated people to commit crimes, to do his bidding. This was kind of a James Bondian type villain that appeared in movies and novels. So I think he was kind of like that. He was a very crafty character. He had a superior attitude. You know, people that believed in UFOs, you know, are very gullible, and he wanted to prove that. Now, why did he confess? Because this was in the 60s. He didn't confess, I think it was in the mid-90s. And why did he let it go on so long? Why did he ever confess? Well, at that time, the UMO hoax started to mutate. Other individuals and groups of hoaxers started to use his creation to do other hoaxes. For example, there was a medical doctor, a quack medical doctor, who claimed he was using UMO information, knowledge, and technology to cure people, and he was getting patients, and of course, that was a disaster. And it also degenerated further. There was some kind of a sick cult that started to use his information. So he started to get repulsed about all these copycats that were making his original creation look really bad. So he said that was part of his inspiration to confess. But to this day, you can find an UMO groups continuing, and oh no, it's all real. And they cataloged these hundreds of letters, and it's like a holy Bible of sorts, you know, all this information to them. So that was something that really kind of impressed me, and something that that a lot of people in the United States don't know about.
It sounds like that the guy had a little bit of a sociopathic bend to himself to go through all this trouble to perpetrate this hoax just so he could sit back and feel superior. You know, here's all these stupid UFO believers, and I created it all. Wahaha.
And it wasn't superficial. He created the whole culture of this other planet. you know, the society that they had. You know, there was a lot of detail that went into it. So it was an impressive creation. There's speculation other people are involved. There's speculation even that intelligence agencies were involved in producing this operation or this hoax. So anyway, that was really interesting to find out about that. And
I'd like to ask you just really quick while we have this. We've got a question from one of our listeners, and this is from Richard Hawkins. And, you know, you were talking earlier about how investigators, researchers in the United States, you know, tend to concentrate more on, you know, English language reports. What about Japan? What about sightings in Japan? I mean, I know I've looked into a few, but of course the language barrier is daunting, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of good, you know, translations from Japanese to English on just a lot of fascinating cases.
Well, you want me to jump to that? That happened a little bit later. I did some other interviews in between, but if you prefer, I can jump to Japan.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that, and then we can then we can go back and go into other stuff as well.
I just want to make sure that I mentioned briefly that Luis R. Gonzalez, the guy I interviewed, has written a novel about the Umo case, and you can find it at Amazon, and it follows the case closely, and that would be interesting for people who want to look in more to that. I think it's only in Spanish at this point. I'm not sure if it's available in English.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he is much more an authority on this Umo affair than I am. So let's go to Japan. Yeah. Yeah, one of my thoughts was to interview somebody in Japan because, you know, when do we hear anything about Japan? Now, there are a few cases that we hear about. Whenever Japan is talked about, it's always the Japan cargo flight. That's one of the cases that's talked about. There are a couple of others that are repeated. There's never any new information, any other cases discussed. Yeah, so let me begin by saying this was also a very difficult interview to get the contacts. So I started out by contacting, there's a major magazine in Japan called Mu Magazine, which is about UFO and the paranormal. It's a Japanese monthly magazine. I contacted them. They gave me some names of people to talk to, and a top researcher in Japan who did not speak English. I worked for him for a long time, and he decided after, I guess, about a year, we worked together with one other person, and the interview kind of fell through. I don't know why that happened. Anyway, I wound up interviewing a guy named Watsu Uso in Japan. And he is a Japanese UFO researcher and author. He's in Tokyo. And he speaks excellent English. And it was a real breakthrough because it was possibly the first time, this is only a month ago, a Japanese ufologist, English speaking, currently living in Japan, has been interviewed by an English language podcast. But we avoided the most famous cases. So instead, I wanted to... was there a question?
No, you're working on the question now.
Yeah. So I wanted to avoid the most famous cases. And I wanted to get my hands on to be able to research this topic, a basic chronology of cases, UFO cases in Japan. I was never able to find one.
Hmm.
And I thought that was, you know, first base to proceeding with this topic. And the closest thing I was able to find was a Japanese book, and the English title would be UFOs in Japan by Takeo Akita, published in 1974. And it had some cases in there that hadn't been discussed before. Now, in Japan, there were some early UFO groups. The first one was the Japan Flying Saucer Research Association, established by Kenichi Arai in 1955. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. And the other group was the Cosmic Brotherhood Association, established by Yusuke Matsumura.
Yes, I remember that name.
And, now what is interesting, one of the details I found interesting is that a number of UFO celebrities of that time visited his group and gave talks. For example, George Hunt Williamson.
Oh, visited. Boy.
Yeah, oh, very boy. Controversial 1950s contactee, flying saucer contactee. He went and spoke at their event, and this would have been in the early 60s. And there were other celebrities that went there and gave talks. And what was interesting is that I discovered that this group was into ancient alien theory way before von Daniken ever appeared.
Let's do our break here. We've got more with Peter, Gene, and Tim. You're in.
Love the Pentecost.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.